Hello and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Pie Bomb Wrestling Podcast, a show that is for the fans, by the fans. I am your phenomenal host, Mr. Podcasting, Chris Belcher. You can follow me at ChrisBelcher24 on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The show is at PBW Podcast on all those platforms as well. If this is your first time listening to the show, welcome to the family. We appreciate you joining us very much, whether you're joining us on the BodySlam.net YouTube channel, SportsWire Radio, or wherever you get your podcast. You will find brand new episodes every Monday and Wednesday. So just make sure that you subscribe to one of those channels, whichever you're listening. That way you get a notification every time we drop a new episode. There's old school stuff. There's new school stuff. There is something for every wrestling fan here on the Pipe Bomb Wrestling Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Chris Belcher. I could not do this by myself. Joining me, as always, is the Young Buck. Ladies and gentlemen, the Indy Darling is in the house. Andy York, what's up, man? How's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good. Just enjoying the new year, enjoying a lot of wrestling, and, you know, life's going good right now, so hoping it stays that way for a while.
I agree. You and I have both had a lot of twists and turns over the last couple months. So let's keep it on the straight and narrow. How about it? Happy New Year to everybody. If you missed us on Saturday night for our day one recap, make sure you go back and check that out. That was a lot of fun. WWE really turned us on our head with the day one pay-per-view, with the results and everything. So we're getting some of the fallout there. In planning this show, man, I had originally anticipated, look, we'll talk about WWE at the top. It won't take very long because we just recapped it on Saturday, and then we'll get to our AEW stuff, man. But as we talked before we hit record, Raw was really good on Monday. I feel like there's more to get to than I realized. Obviously, the big bombshell that started off Monday Night Raw is that Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar are once again a duo. We talked about how we really enjoyed this version of Brock Lesnar, and it seems like it could still be that way because it seemed like that Brock and Paul were trying to be babyfaces. Did you get that feeling at all?
I kind of got that feeling, especially when Paul Heyman was talking about Big E. Paul Heyman put over Big E more than WWE has his entire run as WWE champion.
Exactly.
And so that was a really cool moment. And, you know, Paul also put over Bobby Lashley really well as well. And so, yeah, it felt very weird. Like, it felt very, I don't want to say weird because I loved it and it worked, but it just felt very different than anything we've seen from both of them in a really long time. And so I think it's going to work just fine, especially because Brock still cut part of the promo. He even had that backstage segment after, basically as Raw was going off the air, he had that backstage promo that was perfect in every way. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to see where they go with this. I'm really excited to see what these two do together as baby faces, which is really weird, but I think it might work.
It's so weird, and it's just another wrinkle to the Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar storyline, which we speculated on the day one post show, like, what do they do? Do they completely separate them and just postpone it till SummerSlam? But it looks like they're just going to meet it head on. Mm-hmm. There's some narratives out there online that it's going to be champion versus champion. I don't necessarily think that you speculated it on the post show that maybe they'll just unify the titles. Mm-hmm. To me, I think that's the only way they do champion versus champion, because if you do champion versus champion, it's not unification match. How do you justify the winner of the Royal Rumble not getting his world title shot?
Exactly.
Against one of these guys. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
So Bobby Lashley wins the Fatal 4-Way on Monday Night Raw to become the number one contender. We do get Brock versus Bobby, but it's going to be at the Rumble. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we get it, but it just, man, it looks to me like all signs are going to point to Bobby Lashley winning this match somehow. What do you think?
I think to me it seems more like Brock is the lock to win this one than Bobby. I think if this happened at Mania, I think it would be the other way around. But the fact that it's happening at the Rumble, I think Brock more than likely will win. Maybe Bobby enters the Rumble, wins the Rumble. I think what would be really interesting is because as we're recording this, like Tuesday and Wednesday basically is Wrestle Kingdom. For New Japan, and they always do like night one, night two. I forget how many nights. That's like three nights now, I think, something like that. Yeah. And so they have matches that predict or that will affect matches on the other nights. And so I would love to see, like, night one of WrestleMania, maybe Brock and Roman both defend their title, and then night two is when they face each other. I think that would be really interesting. But I honestly, it's still kind of up in the air. It seems like we're getting Roman versus Brock at Mania, but I don't know what format or how that's going to happen or anything like that. But I still think Brock is a lock to win this at the Rumble.
Well, I think that's an interesting concept. We saw WWE do that last year with the women's tag team titles.
Yeah.
You know, you had the six-team gauntlet the first night, and then the winners face the champions the second night. So I think that could be really interesting if you had, you know, maybe Brock drops the title to Bob on the first night, and then Brock beats Roman the second night, or however you tell that story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't see Brock Lesnar losing two nights in a row. So we'd have to see what happens with that. Here's why I think Brock's a lock to win. That Bobby is a lock to win. I think the opposite. I think Bobby somehow beats Brock. Brock gets enraged, attacks somebody that's going to enter the Rumble. He jumps in and he wins it that way. It just seems like a very Brock Lesnar thing to do. You know, we all just got Brock Lesnar'd.
Yeah.
As Seth Rollins would say. So, but I think it's plausible either way. I'm just really glad that we're going to get Brock and Bobby out of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I think Bobby wins, and it points to Bobby versus Big E at WrestleMania. I think Big E gets back into the title picture, even if he doesn't win at WrestleMania, because I'm like you. I think that Big E was going to keep the title all the way to WrestleMania, maybe face Bobby at Mania, and now maybe the title just, you know, flip-flops because of everything with Brock and with Roman and everything. Regardless, we're starting to see some clarity in this situation, but it's still really up in the air, man, and it's really exciting.
Yeah, the whole Bobby Big E thing, though, is kind of a, I don't want to say a bummer if they're doing it this way. It's because basically the same thing happened with Drew and Bobby last year. Drew having the title, dropping it due to Money in the Bank, Bobby wins it, whatever. And so I think that would be kind of frustrating in some ways. Honestly, I would love it if Big E did win, like, the Rumble, and let him go after Bobby for the WWE Championship. I think that would be great. I think if you don't want to do Brock and Roman at WrestleMania, Big E versus Brock would be a lot of fun. Like, I think that would be a really fun match to watch and see that kind of take place as well. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to say it because I don't want to speak this into existence, but more than likely Goldberg's going to have a match at WrestleMania.
Yes, he is.
Maybe we get the Goldberg Roman match here at Mania this year instead of what we were supposed to get it 2 years ago, I think. You know, that's still a big possibility that could happen. I hope that doesn't happen because I don't want to see Goldberg wrestle like that. But I mean, it would kind of make some sense to kind of run that back since they were trying to do it 2 years ago. So maybe that's still an option, but like you said, it's still wide open. You never know really. We still don't know what we're going to get at WrestleMania, which is very exciting.
Right. Goldberg is, he did an interview recently, or he posted on social media or something, where he said, look, I've only got one more match on my contract. And it seems like the way that he's talking that's going to be it. Yeah. So the logical person for him to face is Roman Reigns. Like, there's not anybody else that would make sense. You can make Kevin Owens make sense, but for Goldberg's last match, he's probably going to go out on his back. That to me, that's just another notch in Roman Reigns' belt. So I could see that happening at WrestleMania. Maybe you do a Bobby, Big E, Brock Lesnar triple threat match, which, I mean, they better reinforce the ring if they're doing that. Good grief. My goodness. But like you said, it's all out in the open. It's all wide open at this point. It's all wait and see, and that's really exciting. Another thing that was really exciting, we talked about it on the day one post show, it's going to come to fruition at the Royal Rumble, not at WrestleMania, and that's the mixed tag team match between the It Couple and the Grit Couple. I love that. Miz and Maryse against Edge and Beth Phoenix. Really cool segment on Raw, really cool interview segment. Continuing to kind of show the disagreements between Miz and Maryse, but ultimately, I think they're going to get the win at the Rumble, but I'm glad they're putting this on the Rumble. I think it's just a really cool attraction match for that stadium show.
Yeah, honestly, though, I think this we're disagreeing a lot this morning, which I'm fine with. Cool. I think Edge and Miz, I mean, as Edge and Beth win this one. And I think it's probably going to start off the show, get the big babyface win. That way, both of them, both Beth and Edge, can kind of be in the Rumble. I would honestly not be shocked if Beth won the Rumble this year to face Becky Lynch at WrestleMania, because Beth versus Becky would be a lot of fun to see that. But I honestly, like, the promos were fun. It's a match that I'm excited for. I'm so excited that it's happening at the Rumble and not at Mania, because that frees up all four really to do something different at Mania. Beth versus Maryse at Mania would be kind of interesting to see. I think they've only had one singles match ever, and I think Beth won that in like 2011 is what I saw.
Two of the most legendary Divas champions of all time.
Yeah. You know? Two that were, especially Beth, but two that were definitely ahead of their time. Like, both of them could hang in modern WWE women's wrestling and be fine. So I think that would be a fun match to see. Obviously, this opens up Edge to have a massive WrestleMania match with
AJ Styles,
a Finn Balor, a Shinsuke Nakamura, a Kevin Owens, somebody like that. Mm-hmm. The Miz can go after the IC title, which he always does, or the US title, and wins it at WrestleMania, because that's what he always does. So there's always a lot of possibilities with this, but I'm honestly looking forward to this match probably more than any other mixed gender tag match that I've seen in a while.
Sure, I completely agree. I'll do you one better, or at least I think better. We're not necessarily disagreeing, but we're showing different points of view here.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't do Beth and Becky. I would do Beth and Charlotte. Have Beth hop over to SmackDown and have her wrestle Charlotte. I think, but just because Charlotte needs a fresh matchup, something we've never seen before, and I think that, of course, that same thing with Becky, but I still am on the Ronda Rousey train with Becky Lynch. I still 100% in my heart believe it's Ronda Becky headlining one of the nights of WrestleMania, but that's neither here nor there. But Beth and Charlotte, to me, that's something really, really cool. Regardless, though, I think you're right. I think this is a good possibility to start the show off that way. All three, I don't see Maryse. Maybe Maryse gets in the Rumble. Potentially all four at least get in the Rumble matches. But yeah, it's really cool. Regardless of who wins or if it starts off the show or who's in the Rumble, I want to see a tandem brood entrance of Edge and Beth. Like, I want to see them both come up through the flames. I think it'll be awesome.
That would be amazing. I would definitely just got to watch Beth's hair that it doesn't get on fire. But
Lord have mercy. So much hair spray in that hair. Oh my gosh. A couple other things, man, that we have to talk about. We mentioned AJ Styles a minute ago. We finally saw AJ get squashed by Omos on Raw. Man, it was what it needed to be. Put Omos over. I really think you talked about Miz going after the U.S. title. I think Omos might be the guy to challenge Damian Priest to maybe take the title off of him. I know that Damian Priest, we've talked about it on the show, has had an incredible run, had a phenomenal match with Ziggler on Raw, but I think that might be something for Omos to really, you know, stake his claim.
Yeah, and it's obviously like a prelude to what they really want him to go after in the future,
right?
Which is be a WWE champion at some point. So let him hold the U.S. title, let him just kind of see what he does with it, how he does with it. I think that's smart. It'll be a fun match. Priest versus Omos would be a really fun match. Damian Priest, I think, is one of the best guys on the main roster today, right now. Like, he's had one of the best U.S. title runs in a long time.
Sure he has.
It's one of those where, like, and I don't understand why this kind of happens, but you either have a really good U.S. champion or a really good IC champion. You never have both at the same time. Right. And it seems like they focus on one more than the other. Right now, it's definitely the U.S. title. I think I saw where the IC title hasn't been defended on pay-per-view since WrestleMania. So it's been that long since we've seen the IC title defended on a pay-per-view. So that's kind of ridiculous. And so I hope that, you know, maybe we get something good for Shinsuke or whoever's the IC champion. But Priest versus Omos would be so much fun to watch. And it would just be a car crash. And it would be one of those where you have to reinforce the ring again. So don't put the big boy triple threat after that if you're going to do that as well, because the ring can't handle it. But it'd be a lot of fun. And, you know, props to AJ. AJ sold like a madman for Omos, made him look like a million bucks, like he's good at doing. now let's go our separate ways and do something else with AJ and maybe have a good showing in the Rumble. Maybe we start that feud with Edge right after the Rumble and take it all the way to Mania.
And I think Priest is a guy that you could look at his matchup with Omos and not just be like, well, Omos is just going to win no matter who he's against. Well, you put Priest up against him, who you said has had an incredible run, and he matches up well with him, and you're like, now, wait a minute. Priest might be the guy that could dethrone this monster.
Yeah.
So I think that's possible, too. And again, a banger of a match against Dolph Ziggler, man. They had me on a couple of those false finishes. I know that Ziggs is not going to get his just due at this point in his career, but, man, I thought for a minute that he was going to get the U.S. title.
I did, too. It was a great match.
It was so good. One more thing to get to for Monday Night Raw, and then we will hop on over to AEW. As we get the bumper, we get the tease. She's finally returning. Alexa Bliss is making her way back to Monday Night Raw just in time to do a WrestleMania run and then to go off again and have a wedding. But she's coming back. I think, man, to really freshen up what's going on in the women's division, I think she's got a good shot to win the Rumble, man. I think that would stake her claim to come back and put her right in the main event picture. Because let's face it, the stuff she was doing with Bray Wyatt and The Fiend and the doll Lily and all that other kind of stuff, it was interesting. It was new. But Alexa Bliss before that was a main eventer.
Yeah.
So we need to get her back in that picture and really get some fresh blood back in the main event picture.
Yeah, my only suggestion would have been maybe not advertise it and just let her be an entry in the Rumble and just let her come back to the Rumble. I know that's kind of an old trope, but like it works every time. There's reasons why you bring back legends and surprise returns and everything. It's because you want that big pop. And so I think that happened. I think that would have happened with Alexa. I'm just hoping that this Alexa's journey or whatever doesn't replace the Veer's coming thing that we saw for 7 months or however long it was, and then he has not shown up yet. So I hope that's not the trend that we're going with Alexa, but I'm very excited to have her back. It is definitely going to add some different spice and flavor to the Raw Women's Division, which definitely needs it at the moment. And so, you know, I still think it's going to be fun. Like you said, I think she's going to have a great shot at winning the Rumble, and maybe going after Becky, maybe going after Charlotte. You know, who really knows, but I think she has a great chance to win the Rumble as well.
I mean, I've always wanted her to win the Rumble because I think I'm not gonna say she deserves it, but she's so underrated. She's so much better than people give her credit for. You know, when there's a reason that she was the first woman to hold both the SmackDown and the Raw Women's Championships.
Yep.
There's a reason that she's a 5-6-time women's champion. Something like that. She didn't have a single takeover match when she was in NXT. She did not hold the NXT Women's Championship at all. And her first pay-per-view appearance in WWE when she got drafted, she won the Women's Championship from Becky Lynch. I mean, the company is high on her. I think people need to get behind her too. And I think this, again, that would be a great way to just bring her back into the fold.
Yep. I also think it's a really good shot that Asuka wins the Rumble this year. I
do too.
I think those two, I think Alexa and Asuka are the dark horses to win the Rumble this year. I would not be shocked if, like you said, Ronda shows up at 30 and wins it. I wouldn't be shocked if Beth wins it, but I think Asuka and Alexa are the dark horses to win the Rumble this year for sure.
I definitely agree. Go put your money down on those ladies for sure. All right. If you are just now checking us out, welcome to the Pipe Bomb Wrestling Podcast. If you're stumbling on us for the first time, we appreciate it. If you are listening to us for the 100 millionth, blue zillionth time, we could not do this show without you because we appreciate your support. Would not be where we are if it wasn't for you. I am your phenomenal host, Mr. Podcasting Chris Belcher. You can follow me at ChrisBelcher24. My co-host, as always, is the Young Buck, Mr. Andy York. We've talked all things WWE, really some fallout from day one, and it's going to continue to fall out all the way to the Royal Rumble, all the way to WrestleMania. It is the time to be a wrestling fan. If you are just a casual viewer, man, lock in right now because this is when WWE gets hot. This is when it gets interesting. lock in right now. You got the Rumble coming up, which everybody loves. Elimination Chamber, Fastlane, whatever. But then two nights of WrestleMania at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. What a season of wrestling it's going to be. But now let's transition over to AEW, who, you know, by and large, has done some incredible things as well over the last year or so. And this is not really their ramp up season, but we don't really know what their ramp up season is. I don't know. Anyway, that's beside the point. The point that we brought up on the Day One Post show, that we wanted to talk about this whole Big Swole situation. Now, if you're just a casual follower, Big Swole's contract did not get renewed in AEW. Tony Khan tweeted out quite a controversial tweet that got some people stirred up, including some people on the AEW roster. Basically, he said that he didn't like her wrestling, so mm-hmm. that's why he didn't renew her contract. Okay, as the owner of the company, you have the right to, if you don't like the person's job performance, to not renew their contract. He has every right to do that. Not saying mm-hmm. that's wrong. But Big Swole did her podcast. When she was talking about this, she made some interesting comments. So I want to run through a couple of these things. We're going to totally avoid the controversial stuff just because that's not our bag. That's not what we do here on the show. But Andy, I want to bring up a couple of these things. I'm going to read a couple of quotes that she said in her podcast, and I want to get your reaction because they really struck me, and I have some thoughts. I want to see what you have as well. She talked about having too many people on the roster. Now, we've talked about AEW having a lot of people before. They've got like four different shows or whatever.
Right.
She talked about having too many people and getting shoved into 2 to 3 minute matches on AEW Dark. And yet shoveling money at people doesn't make them happy. So basically what she said was, I'm only getting 2 to 3 minutes on one of the four shows, but you're just throwing money at me and hoping that makes me happy, but I'm not getting any TV time. Now, we've talked about the oversaturation of the AEW roster before, good or bad. Is there right. a place for everybody? Is there not? This comes from somebody that was inside. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's different for the men and women's roster, for sure. I think we've seen a massive influx of male competitors coming into AEW, a lot more than we've seen a massive flux of female competitors coming into AEW. So I think that definitely plays a part into all of this. I do see where she's coming from, saying that there are too many people, so I'm getting these shorter matches or whatever. My thing is, like, I understand the frustration. I understand not getting enough TV time. But part of it is the people that they are putting on TV, the people that they are putting on these big time shows or whatever, are people that are getting over with the fans like crazy. Like a Britt Baker, like a Ruby Soho, like a Ty Conti, like an Anna Jay, like a Bunny, like a Penelope Ford, like a lot of other people. And so I think she's been given some opportunities. She was given some opportunities to kind of get there. Maybe not a whole lot, maybe not as much as some other people. Part of that is probably because Tony Khan didn't like her wrestling, so he didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to her, which
sure.
we've seen that before from the other side of the other company in WWE. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of frustration with that as well for people that we really like, that, you know, Vince doesn't like their wrestling ability as much, so that he doesn't put them on TV as much, or he'll do the stop start push with them all the time. And so I understand the frustration. I understand, you know, wanting to get that opportunity, and maybe she felt like she wasn't getting the opportunity because Tony Khan had this bias against her. And so it's definitely one of those of both parties probably could have handled the situation better. I put a lot more blame on Tony Khan because he is the owner of the company. He is the top guy, so he has to handle the situations better than that. Mm-hmm. But you also got to, you got to put a lot into perspective. This is his fourth year now. So he's still learning a lot of things as well, that, you know, Vince McMahon has been doing this for 1,000 years now, it feels like. So he kind of understands right. when to keep your mouth shut, when to say something. But he also doesn't, because the whole steroid trial thing, he definitely should have kept his mouth shut a whole lot about that as well. Right. So it's hit or miss on a lot of things. It's one of those that I don't think we'll know the full story. We won't understand the full impact of everything because we don't work in AEW. We don't wrestle in AEW. We're not behind the scenes. And I think that definitely will play a massive impact.
And I think, you know, I was going to hit on that too. Tony Khan needs to learn when to keep his mouth shut. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying, you know, whatever he commented about the racial allegations that Big Swole made, I'm not speaking right. into that. But the fact that, you know, again, as an owner, he has a right to come out and say, well, I didn't like her work. I didn't want to re-sign her. Man, mm-hmm. as an owner of an entertainment company or wrestling company or whatever you're going to call yourselves, just keep your mouth shut. In a public forum like that, with a public figure, just don't say anything.
Or find a different way to word it.
Right.
Or find a different way to kind of go around it. And I think all of it with his statement of him not liking her wrestling and some of the racial stuff and all of the other stuff, it's just a lot of it was unnecessary. A lot of it is just probably him trying to be the hip, cool guy, shooting from the hip on Twitter and blah, 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 whatever. And I just, you know, I agree. Stay behind the screen. Stay behind, you know, the scenes. Find a PR person. Let them take care of it. Release a statement, whatever that is. But you've got to handle things a lot better than handling it the way that he handled it.
You mentioned that there are two sides to everything. Obviously, there are two sides to wrestling as well, one being in the ring and one being out of the ring. Well, if you didn't like Big Swole's work in the ring, maybe you should have tried her some stuff out of the ring. Give her some creative. Give her some something. Well, that's another thing that Big Swole talked about in our podcast, and I want to bring this up. This is an exact quote from what she said. There are no writers in a sense. Not everyone is comfortable writing their own stuff. Closed mouths don't get fed. So if you're shy and you don't know how to write or aren't creative, it's not going to work for you if they don't want it to. So there's been some talk here and there about how creative works in AEW. I still don't think it's clear, but she cleared some things up right there that they're basically, if you don't have ideas and you're not coming to Tony or the Bucks or Kenny or Cody or whoever with some ideas, you're getting left out in the dark. And I think we've kind of seen that played out over AEW's tenure, but now somebody's being vocal about it.
And to me, that makes 100% sense. It honestly does. If you're not creative enough to make yourself feel like a big deal, or not creative enough to just plant little seeds in those guys' minds or in Tony Khan's mind of saying, I'm at least creative enough to come up with some cool story ideas or to come up with this cool match or to come up with this, that, or the other. If you're a professional wrestler, which I obviously am not, if you look at me, I'm not a professional wrestler. I am not in the business. I understand that. But if you're not creative, I mean, it's an art form. And if an artist is not creative in their art form, people don't buy crappy music. People don't buy boring music. People don't go to see boring movies. And so that plays a massive part into it. You may be one of the best actors in the world, but if you cannot, or best directors in the world, but if you cannot create something entertaining or creative, nobody cares because it's going to be boring to them. It may be shot beautifully, but it's going to be boring to them. And I think that plays a part into all of this as well. So, being a wrestler and being creative is definitely important. It's kind of frustrating when you've got guys like Bray Wyatt who were more than creative.
Yep.
More than creative, more than thinking the next step. But he was thinking it seemed like 20 steps ahead of everybody else, telling this long drawn out story with Randy Orton for the company just to be like, no, we're not going to take your creative. We're going to take this boring way instead. That's really frustrating. But it's also really frustrating for the company when they've got people that are wanting to be top dogs that are not creative enough to help along with this creative, especially if you don't have writers, especially if you don't have people doing this, but it's a collective group doing this. Everybody has to play their part. And if you're not, then you're going to get left behind.
Yep. And unfortunately, Big Swole was a victim of that. You know, and maybe she has a place in WWE. I don't know. I don't know if she had a tryout at WWE before AEW or not. Something I learned is her husband is Cedric Alexander. who is in WWE. So I did not know that.
I didn't either.
There could be a place for her in WWE. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But I think it was interesting that she brought that up, because that's something that I've kind of pondered about and worried about with AEW, is because you've heard everybody, especially Jericho, has been very vocal about, hey, pitching this idea, pitching that idea. Hey, one of the wrestlers came up to me and pitched an idea, and then we took it to Tony, blah, blah, blah. But if nobody is helping the other wrestlers along, I mean, Big Swole has been on the independents for a long time. She knows she knows how to wrestle. It might not be your style, Tony Khan, but she knows how to wrestle. But on the independent scene, you don't have stories. Right. Are you telling me that like Britt Baker came in as the ultimate creativity person? Like that she was the most creative. You know what I mean? I know she's come with ideas and she's built on that and she has a look and all that kind of stuff. But it's like Big Swole said, if they don't want it to work for you, it's not going to work. So unfortunately, I don't think she's going to be the last one that's going to suffer from this.
No. And part of it is like, you look at somebody like the Young Bucks or somebody like Kenny Omega, like, yes, they were independent wrestlers, but they worked for Ring of Honor. They worked for New Japan, who told stories, who did everything in the wrestling world. A lot of these independent shows, I mean, you've called some independent matches before. You know that it's not necessarily the story. I mean, you can tell a long story, but a lot of people aren't necessarily invested in the story as much as they are in the wrestlers that they are there to see.
It's not going to be continuous.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so I think a lot of that plays a massive role in this. You've got to either learn how to adapt and be creative and do all these things, or you've got to find some other way to get around it, or find some way to get through it, or have somebody help you. Like, I'm sure if you asked for help on some creative things, they seem like the kind of company that will definitely, maybe not Tony, but maybe the Bucks, or maybe Britt Baker, or maybe somebody else will help you with the creative side of things to help come up with, because sometimes it just takes one idea from somebody and then all of a sudden you're rolling. Now you've kind of got everything planned out, or now you've got the starting point where you can tell this story in your head or whatever. Absolutely. And so I think asking for help, you know, is definitely a big part of that. Maybe she did and nobody would help her. Mm-hmm. Which if she asked for help and nobody would help her, maybe that tells us a lot more about her than other people, but that's just pure speculation. There's no report on anything. Maybe she did ask for help and nobody gave her good enough advice, or nobody helped her out enough or whatever. But I think you're right. I think we are going to see a lot more. Maybe not a lot more, but I think we are going to see some more people suffer that are not as creative as they thought, or not creative enough to hang in this open style creative world that AEW is.
And, you know, a lot of people like that open style. You know, it can be good, it can be bad, but I think you're right. I think there's definitely going to be some other people that's going to suffer from this. We don't know the full story. I don't know that we'll ever get the full story. It seems like we're just going to get the one side from Big Swole. She could have asked for help. She could not have, like you said. Who knows? But to piggyback on what you said about creative ideas and stuff to really get the ball rolling, the first example that I thought of in my head was Stone Cold Steve Austin tells a story all the time about how he was floundering. He was, you know, he had the ringmaster gimmick. He didn't like it. He had just changed his name to Stone Cold. Didn't really know what to do. The curtain call happens. So he gets put in the spot to win the King of the Ring. He goes to the hospital because he got his mouth busted. He comes back. He gets out of the ambulance. He has to go wrestle Jake in the finals. And Michael Hayes tells him that he cut a religious promo on him. Well, then Austin goes to the podium to give his victory speech, and unplanned, he comes up with Austin 316, just like that. Yep. And then that's the hottest selling wrestling shirt ever. So just that creativity, some people have it and some people don't, but that's an example of an idea that came off the cuff, and it's one of the biggest things in wrestling history.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at The Rock, who is the biggest star in the world, maybe ever, like at the moment, maybe the biggest star ever, got his start in WWE. People hated The Rock for the first, how many ever years, 1, 2 years, whatever it was. Yep. They hated him. And then all of a sudden, the gimmick change that he came up with and all this other stuff that he came up with, then he became one of the biggest stars right next to the other biggest star in Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yep. And they took over literally the wrestling world. They took over the entertainment world. They've done all this other stuff. You look at John Cena, who was almost fired for being too boring, basically.
Yep.
Look at what he look what he's done. Look what he has created. So when all somebody...
Because somebody heard him freestyle rap and said, hey, yeah, Stephanie McMahon needs to hear this. Boom, yeah, the next week it was on TV.
Yeah, so like there are ways to find... There are ways to get around creative stuff,
yep,
to then unlock your creativeness, if that makes any sense. Like you have to find what you're really good at, and then the creative stuff will come from that. And I think that, yep, that would help her when she was in AEW. Maybe she goes to WWE. I think that would be great for her.
Yep,
I think that would going to NXT would help her a lot.
Bingo.
Unlock a lot of creative things that maybe she's been struggling with.
Yep.
And you know, maybe it wasn't supposed to work out between the two companies, and this will be the best thing for AEW and the best thing for Big Swole to kind of go maybe to NXT and maybe show Tony Khan, hey, you were dead wrong about me, and I'm going to prove it to you by hurting you.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll see. Only time will tell as to what happens with Big Swole, and more to this story will come out. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, tonight, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, is the first Dynamite on TBS. Make sure that, as the AEW commentators reminded you, make sure you switch your DVR. Make sure you go record it on TBS. But an incredible card coming up tonight. Bryan Danielson gets his rematch against Hangman Adam Page. If the match goes 60 minutes, there will be three judges at ringside to determine who will be the winner. Don't know how that plays into it. I really don't want them to go 60 minutes again. I know you do, but I don't. but that's not the only title on the line. You got the Jurassic Express challenging the Lucha Brothers for the tag team titles. Ruby Soho versus Jade Cargill in the finals of the TBS tournament, and Malakai Black against Brian Pillman Jr. Those are the four matches that I think of, only four matches I think that have been announced. Obviously, Danielson and Hangman is going to tear the roof off the place. Yep. But, man, I'm just excited. I'm just as excited. Let me try that again. To see the Lucha Brothers and Jurassic Express for the tag titles. I think that match is going to be awesome.
Oh, I agree. I think it's going to be so great. I think it's all four guys are just absolutely amazing in the ring, and it's going to be so much fun to see that. I don't think the Lucha Brothers are going to lose the titles, but I would not be shocked if the Jurassic Express did win them, because I don't think they've held the titles yet, and they're two that will definitely be tag champions at some point. And so I'm really excited for that. I wouldn't be shocked if this main evented the show, and the world title opened up the show, because they normally start off these special shows with a long match. And I think that match is going to go for probably like 59 minutes and 59 seconds, which if it does, that's perfect. I hope it does. But I really am looking forward to the tag match for sure.
I think it's going to be great. Let's look back at Dynamite from last week, man. We had the Undisputed Era reunited against the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. Some other matches, lots of trios and 10-mans and all this other kind of stuff. Anything really stand out to you from Dynamite last week?
It was just great to see Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole back together. Like, it was just, it felt right. It felt so good. When all three of them were walking under the ring, it was just special to see that. And so I really, really enjoyed that. I honestly, the promo segments between Brandi Rose and Dan Lambert was fun. Great. Like, was great.
Yep.
Brandi Rose she was great on the mic. She called him a budget cut Paul Heyman or something like that. That was brilliant. Just all of it was just great. I hope we get a Dan Lambert versus Brandi Rose match at some point. I think that would be great. I think that'd be so much fun to see that. And, you know, I think they also set up Cody versus Sammy for the TNT Championship on Saturday. So
yes,
it'll be during Rampage, or Saturday Fight Night is what, something like that is what they're calling
Battle
it.
Battle of the Belts.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. Maybe Sammy gets his win back there. I wouldn't bet a whole lot of money on it, but I think Dynamite has been a lot of fun. I'm really excited for this show though this week. I think it's going to be so great. I'm really looking forward to that world title match and for that tag match.
Cody and Sammy for the TNT title and Britt Baker versus Riho for the women's championship. That is happening Saturday at Battle of the Belts. And I think that's on TNT. I'm not 100% sure. Check your local listings for that. Yep. I sound like a commercial. but check on that. That is this coming Saturday. I don't know what else is going to be on the show, but those two matches for sure. Also, one thing that neither of us mentioned from Dynamite was the debut of Mercedes Martinez.
Looks
like she's joining up with Jade Cargill and Smart Mark Sterling. Interesting spot for her, but I kind of like it.
Yeah, I did too. I think she's going to prove a lot in AEW. I really enjoyed her in NXT. She was one of the releases that shocked me a whole lot, but I think she's going to fit in really well with Jade Cargill, and I think she's going to fit in really well in that spot. And it's going to be fun to see where they go with them from there. And those two could take over the women's division very easily and very quickly.
I think if there was ever a spot for an AEW women's tag team titles, like those two would be an unstoppable force.
Yeah. Like, and there's plenty of teams. I mean, you've got Penelope Ford and the Bunny. You've got Anna Jay and Ty Conti. You've got them two. You've got,
you make Brandi Rhodes and Red Velvet a team.
You could add a lot of people together.
Riho and Hikaru Shida could be a team. Yep. Jamie Hayter and Rebel and just all kinds of stuff. But speaking of Anna Jay, Ty Conti, Penelope Ford, and the Bunny, what a street fight, man.
Dude, it was awesome.
Let me just say, I thought it was a tad unnecessary, some of the things that they did. But kudos to all four women. That was wild, man. It was insane.
It was the perfect way to get people to remember that match. And when you remember that match, you remember all four of them. And that just gets them in people's minds for future stuff. And I think that was smart. I think they were given the opportunity. They ran with the opportunity and they took over and they made you remember that. And I think it was absolutely awesome. How Ty Conti was bleeding like crazy. The Bunny was bleeding like crazy. One shot of her with just the blood pouring down her face was so amazing. It was so awesome to see that. Anna Jay with
the table.
That was brutal. That was definitely brutal. The chokehold with the barbed wire around Anna Jay's arm. It was such a fun match. It reminded me a lot of Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker's Lights Out match. And it was just, I absolutely loved every second of it.
I thought it was good. Again, some of it was a little unnecessary, but it's a car crash match. That's what it was designed to be. Then that's that. Like you said, though, a good way for them to make people remember this feud, because these four ladies have been feuding for quite a while now.
Yep.
And that was really the only way to cap off that feud. So kudos to them from what they were able to do. Also, Cody Rhodes and Ethan Page for the TNT Championship. It's pretty interesting. I think Cody is going to have to get away from this double crossroads Tiger Driver 98 finisher type thing, because as soon as he keeps the crossroads locked on, we all know what's coming. Yeah. So maybe he does it to Sammy on Saturday and Sammy kicks out of it or something. I'm not saying that it's boring or it's stale, but it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Something's got to change on that. I guess maybe that's just where he's going. I don't know. All right, man. That really wraps up all that I wanted to cover. Is there anything else that you want to add from AEW or WWE before we hand out high spots and turd sandwiches?
Not that I can really think of. I think, Dynamite was stellar this week. Monday Night Raw was actually really good this week, which was definitely a nice surprise. I really love the new graphics that Raw had.
Dude, me too. So
with
good.
Like AJ, when they were doing the AJ and Omos thing, and their lights were, their names were behind them and like shining lights or whatever, like all of that was really, really cool. I really enjoyed that. But yeah, I think honestly, just a great week of wrestling from top to bottom throughout the entire week.
With a pay-per-view, and it seems like that, according to Brock Lesnar, that Roman Reigns should be back on SmackDown this week. So that's good to see. But yeah, man, before we sign off, let's hand out our high spots and turd sandwiches, the highs and the lows of the wrestling business. I'm going to counter what you just said with my turd sandwich.
Okay.
Because mine of this week are the matches from Dynamite last week. With the exception of the main event, I just, too many multi-man matches for me. Too much stuff that I just feel like that didn't really advance the story.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of unnecessary throw stuff together. Like, I get that they told the story with the Lucha Brothers and Jurassic Express in that match. Okay, fine. They're telling the story with Cole, Fish, and O'Reilly with whatever miscommunication happened. Okay, fine. But, like, I just didn't feel like there was meaningful wrestling on the show. And I'm not saying there has to be every week.
Right.
It just, I'm not a fan of a 1,000 10-man tags and whatever. So it was just too much for me. But it is what it is. That's just my personal taste. Your personal taste. Your turd sandwich from this week in wrestling. What you got?
My turd sandwich from this week in wrestling is Johnny Knoxville being added to the Men's Royal Rumble.
Oh,
that's
man.
Just, yep. I understand it's a publicity thing. I understand you want to get stars in there, blah, 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 whatever. He's obviously been a big wrestling fan for some time because he's shown up on WWE TV more than once. But the Rumble is a big deal, and it's taken spots away from some guys that more than likely deserve it. And yep. I don't know. You could have him be involved any other way than just being in the Royal Rumble match. And so it's not like when a Stephen Amell or a Bad Bunny get involved because they actually cared and were good enough to train and things like that. He's just probably being an idiot. Yeah. And so I'm not looking forward to that part. It actually made me dread the Rumble a little bit because he's going to be involved in it.
Listen, Omos is going to grab him and throw him.
Do it
all the way from St. Louis to Nashville.
Yep. Do it early, though.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Do it early.
I agree.
First five entrants, let it be him and just get it over with.
No, because you got to get like 10 guys out there. You got to have Omos throw a bunch of guys out and then throw Knoxville on top of all of them because they got to catch him.
That's true. But you could do that with five. You could have four people in the ring and then Omos hits and then he eliminates three of them. And
that's
tosses
true.
Johnny or tosses Knoxville over, and then that's it.
Or you could toss him through the table on the outside. I mean, he's crazy
he
enough
can find
to
a way.
Do something stupid, so you could do that.
He'd probably just want you to throw him on the floor.
Or you can do that too. Whatever. I think Omos just throws him as far as he possibly can, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
My high spot of this week, I have to go to Monday Night Raw, and I have to say it's the main event. That main event from Raw. The Fatal 4-Way that we were supposed to get at day one was just awesome. Like, they fought up through the stands, into the concession stand, the merch stand. Kevin Owens does this incredible dive off the bleachers. Just crazy stuff, man. I loved it.
Yep, I did too. I think it was, I hated that we didn't get it last night or on Saturday night because the commercial breaks definitely took away from some of it, but it was so much fun to watch.
It was great. I thought it was absolutely awesome and a great way to cap off a great Monday Night Raw. That just, took it to the next level.
Yeah.
What's your high spot of the week? What you got?
My high spot actually does come from Monday Night Raw as well, and it's the entire promo from Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. It was so great from Brock saying acknowledge me to
that was so good.
Saying well wishes to your buddy to Roman and Paul Heyman saying 1 week without the special counsel and Roman gets COVID. And a lot of people got upset about that. And if you get upset about that, then stop watching wrestling because it's supposed to be edgy at times and it's not even that bad. And it was funny and it worked and it added to it even more.
Yep. Plus WWE is not going to put their top star in that position without clearing it with him first.
Absolutely. It was probably his idea. Like it was honestly probably his idea. So I everything about it was just so much fun, and it was great. It's nice to have them back together. Paul Heyman, probably the greatest promo maybe of all time, like the greatest promo guy maybe of all time. Definitely the greatest non-wrestler promo guy of all time. But he's up there with the best of the best.
I mean, Paul Heyman and Bobby Heenan are like neck and neck.
They are. They
but
are.
I mean, I think I got to give the edge to Paul Heyman just because of the way he's been able to adapt with so many different people.
And he has so many iconic promos.
He does.
From the ECW One Night Stand when he told JBL that Triple H didn't want to work Tuesdays. That's why he was WWE champion.
Yep.
To when he told Goldberg that Goldberg's son was going to call Brock Lesnar daddy from now on. And like just everything he has said, he is just so great. And so
I'll even go back to when before you were alive, when he was with Rick Rude and when he was with the Dangerous Alliance and all the stuff that he did. One of the things you don't remember is the feud that he had in 1989 with Jim Cornette. They had a tuxedo match at Great American Bash 1989. And just the incredible stuff that those guys went through.
Oh, yeah.
And you can imagine the promo wars, but that was in 89. So it wasn't, you know, as... I won't say it was as edgy as it is now or could be, but just Paul Heyman is in a league of his own. He really
he is. And I'm really excited to see the promo battles between him and MVP. Like, because MVP is really good on the mic. And so I think those two guys together are going to be a lot of fun. I really wish we were getting this match at Mania. I understand why they're doing it at the Rumble. I wish we were getting this match at Mania, especially because we have been calling it for so long. Like, we've been wanting this match for so long, and I would like to see it. And so I think that would be, you know, I think that would be great. But the Rumble is a great time to do it. I think Corey Graves even said on commentary, this is a WrestleMania caliber match happening at the Rumble. And I think, I mean, it's not the first time. This one, we got John Cena versus AJ Styles as well, and the triple threat with Roman or with Brock and Seth and Cena. And so I think it's just going to be one of those that could very easily steal the show.
I completely agree. All right, man, let's get ready to sign off for this week. As always, make sure you're following us on social media at PBW Podcast. Andy is at Andy_PBWP. I am at ChrisBelcher24. Make sure you are subscribed to the BodySlam.net YouTube channel. That way that you get the video version of our show and you get a notification every time we drop a show and every time one of our other shows drop new material. Make sure you support them as well. Also, make sure you're following Tom and the guys at Sportswire Radio. Sportnarium.com/player is where you can check out our show and all of their great shows every week. And if you like your podcast in a traditional audio format, we are there as well on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, everywhere in between. We've seen an uptick in listenership over the holidays. So thank you for making us part of your road trip travels, things like that. We really, really appreciate it. Continue to throw your support our way. We could not do this show if it wasn't for you. Some big things happening in the future that we will give you some more details about later on down the road. So we can't wait for some stuff like that. But until then, make sure you keep it tuned in right here for all of your old school and new school wrestling news. New shows every Monday and Wednesday. We haven't decided on Monday's topic yet, but we're going to do that here shortly. And we will make sure to let you guys know what's coming. But make sure you get it tuned in right here to the Bite Bomb Wrestling Podcast. For Andy, my name's Chris. Thanks so much for joining us. We will catch you guys down the road.